Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plain Stalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I am your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my awesome, amazing, kind of sad that things happened the way they did today, because now he, well, maybe a little happy because he gets to play Esper Stax again. Aramis Braz, how are you tonight, sir?
Not really that sad, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, this is a sad, you know...
Keep listening and you'll find out.
Well, I mean, definitely. It, just to pull it back a little bit here, what we're going to be doing tonight, we might as well actually just get right into...
Untap a Keep and Draw.
So, yes, as we expected, as we were thinking... Field of the Dead has been banned from Standard. So we are obviously going to talk about that tonight, which we knew we were going to. I think we talked about it all week. We've got, so the B&R came out. It wasn't the only news to come out, actually. We're going to kind of go over the ins and outs of it. And then we're going to talk a little bit. Our combat tonight is going to be about one of the cards that maybe should have been banned and whether it should or should not. Finally, we're going to talk a little bit about, in our main two phase, we're going to talk about Arena. They've announced that Brawl is going to be coming. It will be coming this weekend, which sucks because they're doing something Thursday night. Like, what the hell am I going to do? I really want the code, but, you know, I'm not going to go play cards on a Thursday. I play them on a Friday. Mm. And then they introduced today a new format, which we want to go over as well. You got plenty of time to get emails and stuff into us, so feel free to email the show. You can talk in the chat. We'll get you on the screen, you know, especially if you're good looking. So we definitely are big fans of getting people on the screen who look nice. And I can't find my mouse to do what. There it is. You know, good fans of, like, so, like, this person right here. So we're all about getting that on the screen. If you're good looking, we will make sure your, you know, name gets up. That's my wife, by the way, for those on the audio cast. But she says, we're here to see me dance, and nobody wants to see that. So,
wow.
Yes. Wow. And that just there, and Wendy is also saying... So she's saying no more Field of the Dead. Woohoo. She was very excited. So, you know, first things first, obviously, it is untap phase. So I'm untapping tonight. I'm drinking a new Blue Moon Belgian White. So
cool,
tasty.
Cool.
It's refreshing. And I don't have an orange to put in it. But, you know, during main phase, we're going to talk about the Field of the Dead, so we're going to have a little bit more of an untap, because you went and played Friday night, right?
I did play Friday night.
How'd you do?
3-1, sir.
Ah, very nice. Playing...
Esper Stax.
Really?
Yep.
Did you see any Fields of the Dead?
No, not a one.
Oh, wow.
I played one match where my opponent actually said, in the midst of dying, this can't be a real deck, can it? It's a real deck? I'm like, yeah, it's real. It's absolutely real, and it's crushing you.
Well, so you went 3-1. I went to a new store. My wife, I had a week from hell last week, and around Thursday, my wife looks at me and she goes, you know, we don't have kids, and, you know, you've really worked hard. Why don't you just go, you know... Go do Friday Night Magic. She's like, all I'm, you know. And then I was like, well, you know, we want to check out that new store that we took the kids to.
Right.
I wanted to see what Friday Night was about. So Gamers Revolt, which, you know, give them a shout out. They're great guys. I went in there. I went in there loaded for bear. And apparently I was overarmed. Yeah. I walked in with Golos Fire. I actually wanted to combine the two decks I like to play. Mm-hmm. So I built a Golos Fire, and also because it doesn't require too many Hydroid Crises, which I did not have. So I walk in with that. And yeah, they only had 8, so we only had 3 rounds. And I went 2-0-1.
Nice.
And was in first place, basically. The first game, we went to turns, we drew... we went 1-1-1 because basically he was playing a Rakdos Knight deck, which was holding me really well. The first game, I kept a hand I shouldn't have, and I just had real issues mana-wise. Second game, curve was beautiful. Third game, like, we started off and I was starting to get something going, but we went to turns and we just weren't going to kill it. I had more, he had more than enough things out there, but I also had more than enough zombies to where he wasn't getting through. So we just, we went to turns. That was that. Game two, I ended up playing a green stompy deck. Mm-hmm. And this guy, he's hysterical. Like, he's one of these old school, like, because we had a good talk afterward. Because at first, he's kind of curmudgeonly, and he was kind of like, what the hell are you doing bringing this net deck, forgive my language, this net deck shit in here? Well, don't you know where you are? And I'm like, not really. I just kind of brought the best deck I had. And he's like, yeah, you know, this could have, this is, what's this doing here? And I mean, he, by the way, he did that right after I took his Hydra that was 18-18 with Agent of, yeah. So, yeah, he was an, but then after that, we sat there talking about, like, old school Magic, like playing in Rochester, and, because he's not from Rochester, but he'd heard about it, Millennium and all that.
Right.
And we went over, like, places he played, and he told me a few places around town I might want to check out sometime. And then my third game, it was Mardu Knights, and it was a good time. And I can say this now in case he's listening. He had me. He misplayed it. He, at one point, whoops, he could have ended me in game three. And I, he did not. He had an equipment on the field that he could have attached and would have given it. I forget what the equipment was, but basically I'm doing the math going, if he attaches this, I'm screwed.
Right.
Like, I, he's going to roll me. He didn't. He just swung in. I blocked. And I grabbed Golos, and that was it. I was off to the races. So, but I went 2-0-1. I got the promo pack. It was kind of cool. It was my first, like, win. So, but I was kind of like, it was a little harsh. But I'm going to take my son there. I think, Matthew, if you ever want to do a Friday, I'm going to take him there because it seems really casual and cool and kind of low-key.
Right.
So, and then I'm just going to try to build something that kind of can hang in the room without being a dick because I did feel kind of... I felt bad. I'm like, I'm really overpowered for this room. I mean, I'm going to take the win and the cards, absolutely. But Chris has got a good store there. Again, Gamers Revolt, if you're out near Fort Plain, New York, great place to hang. Hashtag not sponsored. Kerwin's is still, you know, I still love Kerwin's, but it was just, it was like, oh, it's a 2-hour drive. So, but with that, that was our Friday night. Anything else you want to talk about, or should we get right into, you know, meat and potatoes.
Meat and potatoes. I mean, I could talk about my Friday night if you want to do that, or you want
to. I would love to hear about your Friday night.
Pardon.
Considering me. That I hijacked your story, so
that's fine. That's fine. So yeah, I went to Kerwin's like I usually do on Friday nights every other week. I brought Esper Stacks. Finished 3-1. I lost my first round. Won the next three.
Right.
And what happened was that as I was signing up, these three young kids come into the store. They're probably like, you know, between 9 and 11 years old, and with their dad. I guess their mom was there too. I guess she was getting them pizza or something. And he signed them up for the tournament. And
okay.
They had their decks, and they were super excited to play. So we go to start the tournament, and they didn't realize it was a standard tournament. One of them brought a deck that had Emra Kul, the Aeon's Torn.
Oh.
In multiple copies. So some of the players there were very nice enough to let them borrow some of their other decks.
Right.
And these kids looked like they had a great time. I think they, you know, some of them ended up winning a couple of matches. My round two opponent was one of these kids. And he was borrowing someone's Selesnya Adventures deck.
Which is not a bad deck now,
it's
but go on.
It's real bad against Esper Stacks because I
love... Oh, yeah, it's horrible. It's a horrible matchup.
I love killing creatures with that deck, and he is full of creatures, so I was like, you know, wrath your board, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, we're going through, and they're learning aspects of the game that they hadn't really paid attention to because after the match, he was like, you know, normally when we play, it's you know, we're at home, and you can play, you know, all the lands in your hand right away, and there's all these other different rules that we follow. I was like, oh yeah, you know, it's a little different here. It's a little more structured, and you have to follow the actual rules. But you know, I said he played a great game, and I told him that. So during that point, right after the match, his brother came over and said, "Do you want a slice of pizza?" Because their pizza had shown up. He offered me a slice, and I was like, "No, thank you very much for asking." Super polite kids.
Yeah.
And so
what they didn't tell you is they laced it with X slice. Man, were they pissed.
So I asked them how old they were, and they said, you know, I'm 9, my brother's 11. And so I was like, all right, cool, you know, good luck the rest of the tournament. And so what I did was afterwards, I went out and, you know, I saw they were sitting at a table with their parents. I went over to their parents and I said, you know, are you their mom? And they're like, yeah. And I said, listen, I got to tell you, your kids are so great. They're so well behaved. They played a great match, you know, for coming into an environment they're not used to, having to follow all these rules. They're polite. They're well-mannered. They were losing, but they were taking it well. They looked like they were having a great time. I told her, you know, the fact that they're into this game, the good that it can do for your brain, you know, with the math and the reading and the strategies and all that stuff. I said, if they're interested, keep them interested in it because it will be,
yeah, absolutely,
it'll be great for them. You know, she thanked me up and down. And after the tournament was over, I got some, you know, I got 3 booster packs for finishing 3-1.
Right.
I gave the cards to the kid, and the look,
oh, nice,
the look on his face when he said thank you. I mean, I have never seen a kid just, that's what I remember when I opened my first booster packs of Magic was.
And what he opened was a foil Oko. So now you're really kicking yourself.
No, there was actually nothing that crazy in the packs. But okay, he was so overjoyed to be getting these cards, and he was like, thank you so much. And I was like, you know, keep playing. No problem. And just a heartwarming thing, you know, just, because the thing is, too, like, if they come to an environment like Kerwin's, you know,
it's pretty,
there are actual pros that play there. So, right, you know, it's metagame. It's pretty well cutthroat. You know, you're going to play your best deck. They, you know, it's not super serious, but they, you know, they want to win. So for them to show up and have a good time, I'm hoping they come back. I'm hoping they'll learn from the other players that were there, because the other players, the regulars, were going out of their way to teach these kids, okay, now remember, you can't do this during this part of the turn. You have to, you know, pointers throughout the game, having them, teaching them things.
Exactly.
And,
well, that's what I really like about that store, yeah, too, is they do kind of, it's competitive in a way. Like, again, me rolling in with Fire, you know, Golos Fire to that event, you know, I'm probably going to go 2-2, maybe even 1-3.
Right.
But, you know, it was definitely, you know, it was what I was loaded for, you know. And, God, it would have been nice to play you. I want to see how Esper Stacks plays against that deck. I mean, Golos Fire has issues. Like, first of all, I didn't put the Arboreal Grazer in it, so I was struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, I didn't realize how important that card is.
Oh, it's to linchpin.
To ramping.
And
linchpin. Well, because what I did was, instead of that, I went with the Giant. I'm like, well, I'll get the Giant. I'm like, boy, you really need that turn one, and you really need that reach. So, I mean, that's why I lost the first game. I'm like, oh, frack.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I kind of did it on the fly. But, dude, that's kind of great that you just kind of gave up your cards and all that. That, you know, and, you know, and then you looked at the boy at the end. And
say hi to your mom for me.
So, you know.
No, but it was really nice. And it's just, it basically, you know.
Oh, and Wendy approves.
Yeah. And it reminds you that in the end, it is just a game. And you're there to have fun. And these kids look like they had a blast. And I'm really hoping they come back.
Yeah, me too. You're wrong. It's not just a game, man. It's life. It's life, man. Don't be like, it's just a game, man. It's life.
I'm the one that should be saying that. I'm the one that wants to be a grinder.
I know you do. I just want to, like, hang out and, you know, and
you play to win the game.
Had that conversation. It sounds like our conversation with Mr. Ortiz. But, all right, so that was our Friday night. So it sounded like we both had a good time. Like I said, I'll be there again. I am going to take Matthew there, I think, some Friday. I mean, we have him this weekend, and the boy is addicted. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, Wednesday I have to bring cards home because the boy's going to be like, can we play? Can we play a little bit? I have to start building, like, a not overpowered standard deck because I've got Mono Red. I've got Gruul Aggro. And I have Golos Fire. It's like,
Have him play one of those.
He doesn't want to. He loves his mono green Stompy, and his Stompy's good. Except he doesn't get it totally, and I'm gonna totally take it from him then because he's like, he doesn't like the pelt collectors. He's like, these are useless. I'm like, I'll take those back.
Those are crazy good.
Because those need to go in my Gruul Aggro deck actually, and I was smart enough not to give him the Questing Beast. So. Because I only have one of those, and I need 3 more. So, all right, let's get into it.
Main phase.
So, the main phase. If you have been under a rock or in E-Rock, you know, anything like that, you may not have heard, but everywhere else has heard, that there was, they're not calling it an emergency. However, I did note that at the end of it, they're like, oh no, our next banned and restricted update is November 17th. I'm like, so this is an emergency BNR.
Yeah, it was totally an emergency ban. They can dress like, it up however they want. This was an emergency.
They're like, it's not an emergency. We're just moving it up for the competitive season. But we are going to have another one in November. You're kind of not making a lot of sense there. But in any event, as we were talking about last week and the last couple of weeks, actually, it happened today. The Wizards came out at about 10 o'clock, and believe me, I was 100% just refreshing the page this morning. They came out with a new BNR.
Yep.
Banned and restricted, and as we expected, the target was acquired, and they shot and hit. And as of tabletop, October 25th, so this Friday, Arena, October 24th, this Thursday, and Magic Online today, Field of the Dead is banned in Standard. You cannot play it anymore. It is not restricted. It is 100% banned.
Pardon. Such sweet sorrow.
They did also ban something for Pauper, Arkham's Accolade, and I can understand that, or Astrolabe, sorry.
Astrolabe, yeah.
And I can understand that. That card is also a little bit busted. But they, you know, they go through their little, like, reasons we did it. Obviously, it doesn't even require a ton of explanation. It is 100% a card that warped meta.
Yeah.
Like, when 50% of a Mythic Championship has that card in it. Now, it didn't win. It came close in that it was in the finals. But it didn't really do well. It was only, I think it only had a 50% win rate.
Yeah, but it had one deck in the top eight. Did you look at 9th through 16th?
Yes.
Every single one.
That's just it. Still, though, 50%, and people came in loaded for it.
But that's the thing. They were loaded for it, and they still only got to 50%.
Right. And that's just it. That's why I'm okay with them doing this, is because some people are like, well, see, this is why we don't have to ban it. I'm like, no. And they even said it in here, is that it warped the meta.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about the fact that the only way to stop it is to aggro. And wait, let me see, where is it? With a more powerful late game. On the other end of the spectrum, ample anti-aggro tools and fast ramp enable the deck to defend against traditional attack decks before showing up the ground with the zombies. This has forced the metagame into extreme positions, with hyper-aggressive red decks and planeswalker-heavy decks being among the only archetypes to consistently put up favorable results against Field of the Dead. They did not count food. Food had a really good day against it.
Food's kind of heavy planeswalker because it's Nissa and Oko.
Yeah. Which we will talk about. You know, and I'm not surprised, and I'm not upset. This is one of those cards where it's pretty obvious. This completely warped everything.
Yeah.
You had to account for it. You had to play again. You knew it was coming. Because if you were playing any sort of... And the fact is this, it fits almost any deck. Because Golos was colorless. And land is colorless. So, yeah.
Excuse me.
You know, Wizards did screw up. I would love it if in a later set, Theros or, you know, the other one there, if they find a way to, you know, a Rampaging Ferocidon type card that hits you for tokens coming in, unban it, because it's not a horrible thing. It's kind of a fun card.
I think that's a good idea.
Well, I mean, dude, if a Rampaging Ferocidon was on the field,
here's the thing.
You're not doing it.
Here's the thing. If they already had something coming down the pike that was going to take care of it, they wouldn't have banned it in the first place. Because remember, sets are done 2 years in advance.
You hit this right on the head last week. You leave this set until Theros, till January, you kill Standard.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing, is that if they had something brewing to take care of it, they would have already put it in one of these sets that are coming up. So
right. But even still, they couldn't wait.
Yeah.
You can't wait until the next set. There's no way. I mean, because we're going into a Standard season of events, too. I mean, there's a lot of Standard to be played. And it is going... you can't. It's going to break Standard anyway. Don't get me wrong. I think Standard's in trouble. Like, we'll go on from this here. I mean, because, yeah, they nailed it. Okay, they nailed Field of the Dead. Okay. However... They missed a few. Losing Field of the Dead is probably the best news for Bant, whether it's food or ramp. Bant had a good day today. They're going to shoot top of the meta without fail. I don't think Bant's ramp has, it has answers, but it's not, it's busted. I don't know. But what do you think is going to be another big deck besides Esper Stacks?
Well, I mean, the Oko decks are going to be...
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Oko decks are going to be are going to be at the top of the meta.
Oko Nissa combo is what I'm thinking.
Oko.
It's not just Oko.
It's the package. It's the package of Gilded Goose, Once Upon a Time, mm-hmm. Oko, Nissa, Hydroid, Krasis. That core. Yeah.
Those 20 cards.
You build. You start then, your deck from there, and then you your extra slots you put in for whatever you think you're going to face.
Yep. And it's really, it is really warping. It is really powerful. It's overpowered. I think the problem with Oko is exactly what we said during pre-release. This is a 3-drop Planeswalker at 5 that plus 2s.
Well, it starts at 4 and plus 2s.
Oh, plus 2. Yeah, but 4 still. And plus 2s. I mean, this thing becomes unkillable in 2 turns. Like, I mean, it's killable. I mean, there's Elder Spells, and there are things you can
board against. Killing with damage becomes very, very hard, even after upticking it just once. And the fact that this can come down on turn 2.
Yeah. You know, turn 1, Arboreal Grazer, turn 2, Oko.
Turn 2, Gilded Goose.
Yeah.
Because he synergizes with Oko, because, oh, look, Oko makes food.
Yes. So, I mean, this is really... you know, I think that's going to be the biggest deck right now is anything Oko.
I mean, Esper Stacks, I think, could be a decent matchup against it because it doesn't really care about the tokens. And if it can keep the board clear, it can keep the Planeswalkers off the board with Doom Foretold. The problem will be the animated food tokens. It would need, you know, targeted removal or wraths to handle those.
I think you'll see... some Doom Foretold. I think Doom Foretold
Stacks
is one of those
definitely
cards going to get a
up.
Big uptick.
Yeah. Stacks is going to go. Huh? Stacks is going to go way up in the metagame as well. But I think Tier 1 for sure, or Tier S, is going to be the Oko decks.
I think that's Tier 0. Yeah. I think that's going to be like the deck to beat.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think, listen, I mean, Wizards is Wizard. And here's the thing, people who don't want to buy a $45 card bitch about how powerful the card is. Let's be honest. And they say it should be banned. Okay, we should ban Oko because, you know, blah, blah, blah. When in actuality, yeah, I look at it and I go, God, that's a $45 card. And if I want to hang, I've got one and it's foil. I might be able to trade somebody for 2 regulars. But it's like I might have to throw $80 down to be competitive. It's tough. And it's a tough pill to swallow. And then you throw everything else around it. Questing Beast is $20. You know, all these other things are there. Even Once Upon a Time, a 2-drop is $13.
Yeah, because half the time it's a 0-drop.
Like, I get the problem, okay? And I'm 100% in. That being said, you know, when the professionals who get cards for free are coming out and going, listen, Field of the Dead, absolutely, 100%. But has anybody looked over here to this guy? He not good. You know, and I mean, you had a bunch of professionals this weekend coming out pretty heavy on Oko.
Yeah.
They were saying things like, you know, it needs to be banned. It should be banned this week. Why are we waiting? We shouldn't have to wait. Like, what's going on? Yada, yada. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. They're not going to ban Oko now. There's no way. I knew that. They were not going to ban Oko this week because he's on, like, you know, billboards and boxes and, you know, you can't ban him yet. You know, but he's probably on his way.
There's a target. There's a giant target on his back right now.
Yeah. I think, And I'm going to just say, deservedly so. Like,
yeah, they like to push cards. They like to push Planeswalkers as far as power level. I've heard people saying basically he's the best 3-mana Planeswalker ever printed. And, you know, Liliana of the Veil is in that conversation. Three Fairies in that conversation. Narset, Liliana of the Last Hope is on that list. There's some good three-mana Planeswalkers out there, and they're saying Oko's better than all of them.
And they're not totally wrong. I mean, I can't say that, because here's the thing. I think Oko is really, really powerful in this standard meta and with the food mechanic. Mm-hmm. You take the food mechanic away, okay, all right, the fact that he could turn things into elk, that's its kind of big thing. But is he the best is he the best three drop because of that? No. I still think Liliana of the Veil is the best three drop you're going to find. Thorfairy is also pretty good, but he's in standard, he's busted. And I think it's actually kind of what's going to lead us into, but I mean, is there anything else we want to talk about before we go to combat, or?
No, we can go right to combat.
All right, yeah. Because that's what our combat is.
Combat phase.
All right, combat tonight. Obviously, okay, the Banhammer fell today. It fell appropriately. Everybody says it was right. Okay. So then the question becomes, did they do enough? Did Wizards do enough? Should they have banned Oko? So I thought I would ask my buddy Aramis what he thinks. And
Should they have banned him with this one, or should they ban him, period?
I'm going to say dealer's choice.
Dealer's choice. I would say right now that on the one hand, I agree with them saying that it's too soon to tell because the format is only 3 weeks old. On the other hand, I would say that those 3 weeks should have been more than enough evidence that they have a problem on their hands. Oko is seeing serious play in Standard and Modern and Legacy. That in and of itself doesn't mean you ban the card. You ban the card because, especially in Standard, it invalidates every creature on your opponent's side of the board.
Oh, every creature, every artifact. Not every just creature every creature. Artifact,
yeah, but I mean, creatures more importantly. But especially, yeah, Sorceress Spyglass to stop Oko, that still works. But you know, pretty much everything else, it's an elk.
Right.
When every creature has to pass the Oko test, and the fact that the thing can come down on turn two, it's too fast and powerful for what it does. I mean,
I think it's too fast and powerful for the format.
Someone had mentioned if the biggest problem with Oko is that two of his abilities are pluses, and that the making of food's a plus two. They said if you minus one from all of that, he's a lot less dangerous. So his making food is, he starts at four still, but his plus one is make a food. So he can still die to fry. His turn things into an elk is a zero. So you use it, he's still vulnerable. And then his steal thing, okay, that's fine if it's a minus four. You get one shot out of it and he's dead right away, or you can plus him and then bring him down to one to use the ability. That sort of tones him down to the point where he's a little more reasonable. But he's still, I think if they were really looking at the long-term health of Standard, they probably should have banned Field of the Dead and or Oko / Nissa.
And I kind of can agree with that. I think, and they used to do this back in the day. If they were going to ban something, they banned two, they hit the top two. Mm-hmm. You know, they went out of their way to hit. Like, the last one I could think of where they really did that was the last really big Standard ban was when they nailed Temur Energy and Ramen Upright in the same BNR. Now, did it result in changes? No, because Red adjusted.
Yeah, Red didn't care.
But it did shut Temur Energy down forever. I'm really thinking that, I have to agree with you here that banning Oko is, it has to happen now. And I'm not saying this because he's a $40 card, you know, and I don't want to spend, I don't want to spend $40 on a Standard card.
Yeah.
Because here he's not seeing a ton of play in other formats, in the Eternal formats.
He's seeing play in Modern.
Is he seeing play in Modern?
He's in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different decks in Modern.
All right, well, there is that, but even still, you know, I gotta say, like, I would want to see, you know, it's a tough pill for me to swallow. Like, Hydroid Crisis, I can get behind. You know, like, that is a useful card in about 85,000 decks.
As long as you're Simic.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's hard for me. But I still... you're right. It's the fact that he only has one minus, mm-hmm. and that he can plus two. Like, it just... he goes way out of control way quickly. I don't understand... maybe this is a problem with the top-down construction idea. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they were like, okay, we want Oko to do this. They're doing it from top-down instead of bottom-up, which I think bottom-up would be, like, mechanics and then fit it into the story.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Well,
we want Oko, and this is what Oko should do to benefit the story.
Well, he does that, though. He does that. He's the one that turns Kenrith into an elk, I believe.
Right. Again, though, it's, and I mean, I was listening to, I think it was Jerry Thompson's podcast last week, and he's talking about the game design team, and some of what he was saying is, like, he's making a valid point in that the game design, since it came into being, has brought us such wonderful wins as Teferi, Hero of Dominaria, Energy Mechanic. Now, nobody talks about Ixalan and Rivals, but Dominaria and its legendary crap shoot. You know, War of the Spark, which everybody loved. But, I mean, sometimes it seems like they don't... like, they're playtesting, but not playtesting. We're actually beta testing. Well, it's an interesting thought.
I think the play design, that department, they really didn't get their hands on a full set to test. I think Dominaria was actually their first real one to do that. So Energy, they didn't really have too much of a part of.
Oh, okay. I thought they had a hand in Energy. Yeah, I thought they started at Kaladesh.
No, they started at Dominaria.
I thought they started actually at Shadows over Innistrad.
No. That changed. I think that changed some of the design philosophy, but I think the actual play design team, where they split it up, I think Dominaria was their first go-around. I mean, because you could kind of see the difference between Ixalan and then when Dominaria came out.
Right. Well, I think they tried to nerf a little bit with Ixalan and Rivals because Kaladesh and Amonkhet were so just bombad, crazy nuts.
Scarab God was
as far as power level.
Huh? Scarab God was a good card.
Scarab God was a great card, but you know what? Scarab God is an example of a card that could warp meta, but could answer. It wasn't like all powerful. The problem I think we all have with Oko is there's very few answers that's not Oko,
Well, the problem
unless
is,
you're willing to play Golgari,
you have to play the decks that can that can straight kill it. The problem is those strategies were invalidated by Field of the Dead. So I think what Wizards, you know, Pipe Dream, Magical Christmas Land hope is that control will reassert itself and say, oh, is that an Oko? Yeah, that's going to be a Mystical Dispute. I'm going to have to counter that. Oh, wait, here's an Elder Spell or, you know, something along those lines.
But I don't think it will because Food and Ramp are too powerful.
Yeah.
They really are. And while Control can answer them, mm-hmm. the problem is Control is not good against other archetypes. I think it still has a problem with... Stack still has a problem with some aggro, doesn't it? Like, the speed of it.
Well, I mean, I think it's draw dependent, but yeah, it's like, Cavalcade is not a great matchup, because if they get Cavalcade down early, you have to... it's really hard to survive to turn four.
Right. Like, it's things of that nature where, you know... I don't know. I guess for me, combat, I would say, yeah, Oko needs to go.
Yeah, sooner rather than
later. I don't think doing Nissa is enough. I think if you're gonna do it, be a surgeon, be meticulous, go for what's really causing the problem. I think Nissa's a symptom. People are like, Nissa or Hydroid Crisis. I'm like, don't do either one of those. They've been in the meta for a year now. They're not breaking anything. You know, Hydroid is one of the most powerful and versatile cards in the game. Like, there's a reason that he's a $26 card. He's versatile, you know, and there are many ways to stop him. For one thing, you can't bring it back out of the graveyard because it dies. Like, that's a mistake. Like, getting rid of that instead of Oko, just because Oko's on your box, I don't know that I would agree.
I don't think Crisis is really on anybody's radar. It's powerful,
I love that card.
Yeah, it's powerful, but it's The two most powerful abusers of, I think, what the underlying issue is Nissa and Oko. And the underlying issue is the ramp. But I don't think banning Gilded Goose is necessarily the answer. I don't know. It seems sort of like throwing darts at a board if you ban Gilded Goose, but you leave Oko and Nissa floating around. And banning all three just seems like overkill. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and have we ever seen in recent history them ban a card like Oko where people are buying it for $40 on secondary? And I know they sit there and go, we don't do for the secondary market. Bullshit. Okay, you are aware it exists. You know what a secondary market is. And, you know, people are going to be a little upset if after dropping $120 for three Okos because they happen to open one. You know,
I think they have.
You ban it.
I think they have done it before. I think that was when they banned Jace the Mind Sculptor.
That would be the last time I think they did that.
Yeah,
and then people did not react.
They eventually unbanned it, like, what, 6 years later?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you might see Oko banned now and then unbanned in Modern at some point or in the new format.
I don't think they'll ever ban it in Modern. There's enough answers in Modern. That's kind of the problem with Standard overall is that, you know, these cards are not horrible. In the grander scheme of things, they're just bad in Standard because there's no answer.
Right.
You know? And sometimes it makes me wonder, like, what if instead of rotating next year, they gave it another year and they're like, okay, Standard is now 2 years of cards. You know, or it goes back a little further. Like, could you imagine a year with Field of the Dead and, you know, Field of Ruin? Okay, now I have answers.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, that's kind of historic, right?
Yes, it's kind of historic, and they still haven't updated historic. But yeah. I think this combat, I think you're right. I think are you saying then ban Oak?
Yeah, I think for the overall health of the format, Oak's got to go.
And I do think you're right because I think standard is what you do Arena with. Standard is what it is your bread and butter right now, and it's what makes Wizards the most money because we have to keep buying cards every year.
Yeah.
So. I'm gonna also say that, I mean, if you want a healthy Standard, then, yeah, you're going to have to ban Oko. And then you're going to have to... I would take Mark Rosewater and the rest of the team out to lunch and be like, listen, you yahoos, you know, either... You guys have kind of blown it lately. Field of the Dead, Oko, like...
Well, I'm going to defend them a little bit. And they made this point, and it's a valid point. Play design and all that, it's, what, a couple dozen people?
Yeah.
When you have a game that reaches millions of minds on the internet,
I don't disagree.
With constant testing, they're always going to find something that they didn't expect. Now, does that mean that they get a complete pass from this? Absolutely not. I mean,
No, because that's what they do for a living. They are professionals at this.
Yeah,
and
they have pros on their staff, so they already have people who look for the most broken, you know, deviant things you could do with these cards, but. They're obviously going to miss some, but it's tough to find the balance. I give them credit for doing as well as they have for as long as they have because they had the Ravnica block was fantastic.
Right.
There were a lot of solid, powerful cards, not too many problems. Three fairy, but for the most part, it was very enjoyable. And I think Throne of Eldraine can be very good. It's just they goofed on Oko and they goofed on Field of the Dead.
Field of the Dead was core 20, though.
It was core 20, but
and that's
still
kind of where I look at it, too. It's like, on one hand, I can agree with you with that. On the other hand, Field of the Dead and Golos are in the same damn set.
Yeah, and they didn't see that.
Like, how do you not see that? Like, okay, Arboreal Grazer is War of the Spark. I can understand that. And Arboreal Grazer is kind of the engine that gets the engine going. But Gates was a thing in Ravnica. Circuitous Route was a thing in Ravnica. Ramping mm-hmm. was a thing in Ravnica. Like, there's no reason for you guys, in a way, not to have seen Field of the Dead coming. And in fact, I forget what her name is there. It's a girl. But one of them came out and said, well, we wanted to do something with Scapeshift before it rotated.
Oh, that was Melissa
DeTora. Yeah. Melissa was like, we wanted, you know, part of why we did this was we wanted to give Scapeshift something fun in the last 2 months of Standard.
Done.
So, in another. And in another way, I want to sit there and go, well, mission accomplished, but how
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. So I think, yeah, I think combat is, I don't think we had one. Because I think we're both in the same boat on that. So why don't we just go ahead and...
Main phase.
Okay, main phase two. So, usually in main phase two, we talk about, a little bit more of arena, a little wider, you know, all the way around. They did put out a state of the game last week.
Yes.
It's something we should talk about because...
it's bug squash
in a way,
season.
It's... Well... it's a little rough. To basically kind of combine it for you, to TLDR it, the start of the state of the game is basically them saying, yeah, we are aware that the software sucks. So that there are hitches and there's memory leaks, which we have said from beta, and I mean closed beta. Like, I was part of closed beta, and I was like, mother huckers, I leave this game running for an hour, and it eats half my RAM. Like, that's a memory leak.
Yeah.
You know,
and
things like that.
And it's nowhere near as big as Magic Online.
So they talk about that a little bit. They talk about the disconnects. They talk about the issues there. And you know, all right, I understand a little bit to some extent. You know, I heard a person this week, you know, who was kind of talking about this very thing, and he's like, well, I guess I can understand why they're having so many system issues, you know, with their developers working on the styles and all. I'm like, I can't argue that point. Like, you kind of have one job, keep the game running, mm-hmm. and you're kind of blowing it. And I think they're blowing it. Like, a lot of this stuff started happening with the freaking mastery set. Like, a lot of the issues came about with that. I think that cat and that fox are just brutal on your system.
Yeah.
And the animations and all of that. Like, don't get me wrong, I love the giant that comes in and grabs it, everything.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty cool the first time I saw that. I was like, what the heck is this thing?
I mean, I think it's great on one hand. And on the other hand, though, if it causes my computer to throw me the middle finger, then I'm not a big fan. You know, so they talk about that a little bit. You should read that if you can. Find the state of the game page because it is pretty interesting and intense. It's very technical. We're not going to get in here because even though I work in IT, like, my brain is off for the night. But be that as it may, one of the things I would suggest is when I read the words memory leak, it means one thing. Between games or between every couple of games, just exit the program and come back in. All right, nice. Exit the program. You don't even necessarily have to reboot. Just make sure all the services are stopped. Exit the program. Come back in and play, and you're going to see a little bit better performance. And maybe turn off the pets. I mean, I have done that, and I'm really not having any major issues.
Yeah.
The problem I've got with that is that because of all of these system issues, and then on one hand it's a problem, on the other hand I'm like, well, duh. They're pushing friends list down. They're kicking it down the road. So that sucks because I can't name an online game that doesn't have a friends list except Magic Arena.
Yeah. That's like par for the course.
Yeah. So, but they are talking, and then the final one, and usually with the state of the game, if they have bad news, they lead with it. I've noticed that. They'll lead with the bad, and then they'll go to like the middle, and then they'll go to the good. And so their ending would celebrate the launch of Brawl, October 24th to November 1st. So they're adding Constructed Brawl to MTGB Arena, which is cool. For those of you who enjoyed the Courtside Brawl event in September, it's the same format. But this way we can build it. You know, they're moving Brawl to just on Wednesdays. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, that should always be present.
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine if MTGO was like, you can only play Commander on, you know, the second Sunday of the month after, you know. Yeah, I understand. You want us to play Standard, and if you give us more, you know, outside of Standard ideas, well, we might not want to spend money on Standard cards. Okay, but it's keeping us in Arena.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's on you to come up with an idea to entice us to go back to playing Standard. Or maybe get rid of Oko. In any event, that's starting next week. They have an event happening, I do believe, Thursday, where you can get an arena code emailed to you if you go to a store and play in a Brawl event. I'm not sure where I saw that or read that. Ooh, but
what does that get you?
Let me see here.
I mean, not that I'd be able to do it, of course.
Well, that's just it. I might go down to Bonds or to Gamers Revolt if on a Thursday night, I might just go down just to get that if it's giving you something good.
Right.
I got to find that out. I'll put it up on the Facebook page because I do like the fact that they're making you do paper magic to get something in Arena.
Yeah, there needs to be a hole.
Oh, it's going to give you three cards. Command Tower, Toma Legends, and Arcane Signet.
What?
Yeah.
I'm assuming card styles?
No, the cards.
You can... Oh, okay.
You can get them with wild cards, but... It says the week of October 24th is embracing Brawl with in-person events, which grant you access to free arena goodies. All you have to do is link your DCI number to your Wizards account, and if everything lines up, you signed up for email promotions and your store uploaded the info correctly, you'll get one copy of the three below cards for free on top of styles for each of them. Those cards should go out on October 31st, the week after the event, and you don't need arena to receive them. So you go to a physical Brawl event, so I got to find out if Kerwin's is having one. Like, if they were doing that on a Friday, I'd go, you know.
Yeah, I'd build a Brawl.
But they're giving you, basically, they're giving you all the mana rocks and command tower. All
right.
So,
I guess that's not terrible.
It's not terrible. I mean, I could use wild cards for it. I like to play Brawl Paper. I've been playing Brawl Paper for a couple of weeks now because it's a really nice way to play Commander with the guys. Gabe built a freaking stupid Gruul one. It's kind of annoying, actually.
Who's his commander?
Like, I was... Huh?
Who's his commander?
Domri.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So he's doing the whole, like, you know, giving everybody Riot, and he's got all Riot already, and then he throws out the freaking, the one that gives everybody Riot, so he's rioting three times.
Yeah, Rhythm of the
I'm
Wild.
I'm like, what the absolute F? Nice. And I'm playing Niv-Mizzet, I'm like, I just need to get to six. I just need to get to six. Please let me live to six. Six! Funny. Yay!
And you're dead.
Yeah. So... That's the Arena event, Brawl. I highly recommend it. I love Brawl. I know it's Commander. It's Diet Commander. And it seems like, you know what, and this is going to lead us to the second part of Main 2, is that, is it me or is Wizards starting to come into, like, they're trying to make diet things, as I like to call them, diet products. Brawl is kind of Diet Commander. And now, today, in addition to the BNR, Wizards came out and announced a new format.
Yes, they did.
And it's called Pioneer, which makes absolutely no fracking sense. But it's basically, it's a non-rotating format that's going to include all Magic expansion sets from Return to Ravnica, so fall of 2011, forward, and include new formats as they're released. It's Diet Modern. And the big part is, they're like, our first bans... Fetchlands. No Fetchlands for you. But, I mean, the sets in here... Like, listen, I came back in, like I said, right around, like, Magic Origins. So I start... There's a three-column thing here, you know, of the sets they have. I start at, like, the second line of the second column. I'm like, holy shit, I've got most of the Modern for this. You know? I like it. But it's Diet Modern.
I'll take it, though. So, it's a much lower entry point, much lower barrier to entry.
It is. And I really hope what this means is that also, if you think about it, if they have Shadows Over Innistrad already, or Eldritch Moon, I think we said, already coded, that's half of Pioneer. They have half of Pioneer in Arena.
Yeah. They said in the announcement they have no plans right now to put it in Arena.
I know.
And given their track record with Historic, which there is no track record because there's been literally nothing since the announcement, I have less than zero hope that Pioneer will eventually make its way there. But you never know.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, I do like this. I like that they're doing it. I don't think it's going to get... I don't think it's going to... I mean, it would hit you and me. It'll hit the casuals. It'll hit the dirty, stinking casuals. And it'll hit the new people coming in, which is what I agree with this, is that it lets people play the cards that are rotating out. So, you know, you have people joining because they played Arena for a little while. And then they go in, and now they're like, yes, I have a decent deck. Crap, it rotated. What do I do with this Chain Whirler now? Well...
Well, they're going full bore on this, though. I mean, this is going to be Players Tour events. This is going to be Grand Prix, PTQs. Okay. They're going full on. This is a official
Didn't
format.
They do this with, what was it before, Enhanced or whatever they called it?
What
was the one before Legacy?
Extended?
Shit. Extended.
Well, yeah, that was like, at that point it was Standard, Extended, and Vintage.
Right.
So this is basically it's like another modern format. Modern took off. You know, it started in 2011 and it was a big deal and it was great. Everybody loved it, and obviously it's extremely popular right now.
Right.
I think Pioneer has that potential as well, especially without the Shocklands, for more people to play it because
Fetchlands.
That's what I meant. Sorry.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to worry about spending $100 on Scalding Tarns. And, right. You know, a lot of the cards that are super chase cards in Modern aren't going to be in Pioneer. Some of them will be. I think Deathrite Shaman is in this. And, like, you know, Treasure Cruise, I think, is in this.
The Energy Mechanic. They have not taken out a Tune with Aether or a Rogue Refiner.
No.
You could build a Teemer Energy deck and... roll.
It wouldn't be Teemer Energy. It would be the Aetherworks Marvel that they'd be abusing.
Yes, it would.
And then, you know, you have...
Which I happen to have one.
You have Emrakul, the Promised End, huh? You know?
What's that?
Emrakul.
Yeah.
You know, so there's going to be some good stuff in this format. I'm excited for it. I think this is something that I'd like to get into. Because, again, it's the point of entry is not going to be as high as it is for Modern. I don't foresee too many $1,000 decks in Pioneer.
True.
At least not right away. I mean, eventually it'll probably get to that point because of scarcity. But yeah. I think this is a good idea. I'm glad that they keep introducing new formats to keep things fresh. So it'll give a new perspective on cards that were too good for Standard, not good enough for Modern. It gives them a place to go.
I do agree with that as well. And I do hope it gets kind of... Like, if they did anything, I'd love to see them go ahead and say, hey, not only that, team events, now you have four. You have Legacy, you have Modern, Pioneer, Standard.
Well, they'd have to do it to five then because there'd be the chance of a 2-2 tie.
True. So, Legacy,
keeping it an odd
Modern,
number. Yeah, to keep it accessible for most people, they probably would reduce the number of people that would be playing Legacy, and they'd probably make it Modern, Pioneer, Standard.
Interesting.
Not to say that they would never do Legacy events again, right. Because they said, you know, we're still going to support Modern. They didn't say anything about Legacy, but I imagine they'll still support Legacy. But Legacy's big problem is that you want to play Legacy, plunk down $6,000.
Yeah. Or get a sponsor.
Which, you know, 90% of Magic players... can't play Legacy unless it's on the kitchen table.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to it. They're having a video this Thursday where they're really going to announce this. It's their usually weekly MTG video cast, and then they'll put the podcast out probably Friday. I'll listen to it. I definitely want to hear a little bit more. I'm definitely intrigued. If Aetherworks Marvel is unbanned, I might put together my Teemer Energy deck again, because... Damn. Mm-hmm. it's an interesting idea, but I'm definitely all for it, you know, tonight. And I think, you know, that right there is a show. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, we've covered just about everything. The BNR was exactly what we thought it would be.
Yeah, I was kind of, part of me was thinking that maybe they would hit either Golos or Oko at the same time. I'm not super disappointed that they only hit Field of the Dead, but like I said before, I mean, Oko's days are numbered.
Yeah. It is. And Ricky, actually, you know, let's go ahead and get into end. Well, we're still in. No. So we don't have any feedback this week as far as emails. I don't think we got an email. I did ask about feedback this morning when the ban restricted came out. Ricky just commented about an hour ago. He said, because I said, what decks do you think are going to be, you know, huge? And he's like, Simic, Flash, or Food, with a whole lot of Oko on the horizon for sure. I think Simic Flash is DOA.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
I did play against the Simic Flash deck. I think that was the deck I lost to.
Really?
Simic Flash is a rough matchup, especially for control players, because they do everything on your end step. And
right.
They're going to be actively gunning for your Teferi. If you can't resolve Teferi, they can beat you very easily, because they'll be like, Flash in a Wolf, and then if they want to play something main phase, it's probably Questing Beast, because you're not going to block it, because you're a control, you're not playing too many creatures. You know, you Flash in the Brineborn Cutthroat, you Flash in the Spectral Sailor, you Flash in Nightpeck Ambusher, and you have a bunch of counterspells, you have Mystics, you know, the Frilled Mystics, so it's. I think that will... That will get a little bit better because it doesn't have to worry about an army of 2/2s to drive through.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, it's again we're kind of at the Wild West, but we kind of already have a sheriff in town, so I guess it's a matter of which outlaw is right in to try to stir things up.
Yeah, I don't think Simic Flash. I think it lost too many of the counters. I mean, it has counter, but it just
Mystical,
Quench is a piece of crap.
Mystical Dispute.
I hate Quench.
Mystical Dispute is sees play in that, and that's a pretty good counter spell. Because if you're playing against blue, it's a one mana mana leak. Otherwise, it's three mana, but it's still very easily done. And you know they have their options. Quench is not great. You know, it's one of those spells that only works once. But people really don't expect Mystical Dispute.
Holy cats! I just did on a lark, by the way. I took a look at pricing today for Oko. Went up $25 in the last 24 hours. It is now at $60.
Yep. No surprise there, because it is new.
Please, dear God, ban that card. No. Anyway.
I don't have one yet.
Rick, thanks for commenting on that, guys. Again, our Facebook page has a ton of stuff on it, so love to hear more if you guys got anything you want to say. But with that, we might as well get into...
End step.
All right, so while we're picking up our boxes and, you know, rolling up our play mats and taking all of our trash and putting it in the receptacle, because, damn it, your mother does not work at this game store, Aramis and I wanted to remind you that we both stream Arena on the Planeswalker podcast. Ugh. God, why is that such a hard thing for me to do? It's the end. We should be doing this earlier, because I think this is the beer.
Or you could just... Yeah, anyway.
Take two. All right. Both Aramis and I stream Arena on the Planeswalker podcast channel on Twitch. Look up Planeswalker's podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at Mindcrime73.
And you can follow me on Twitch at RmecWRX. I was supposed to stream last Wednesday, but I was feeling a little under the weather, so I didn't do it. I'm hoping to stream this Wednesday. I think if Pioneer becomes a thing, I might reopen my Magic Online account and try to see if I can get a couple Pioneer decks done and maybe stream some Magic Online on that too, but that's down the road.
Down the road, yeah.
Down the road. So Wednesday nights, Arena, typically around the same time we record, 8 o'clock Eastern, or maybe 9 o'clock, depending on how the day goes. But in the evening, I'll stream Arena for about an hour or so. Just, you know, if you want a quick hit before you go to bed of Magic. But if Twitter is more your speed, you can find our show at PlanesTalkerPod on Twitter.
And my personal Twitter is at WR Benson, which, you know, I rarely ever tweet. I really only have it so I can, you know, follow Jane Pauley from the Today Show. And, of course, you can always follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/planestalker. If you want to watch us record on Mondays, we're here usually 7:30 to 8 o'clock. So if you're in the audio listening in your car, this is when you can come see us record this podcast, interact with us, send us chats. But we also put up stuff up there. So again, that's facebook.com/planestalker.
Finally, you can send us emails and even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. And you can also send us an email just to let us know how we're doing with the show. If you think there's something we could do better, or if you just want us to go, you know, away. It's not happening, but nice try. If you do want to send us an email, our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
Finally, iTunes reviews are something that we could really use, as well as Google Play Store. Even Facebook reviews are great. We just want to get more eyes on the show. So if you could, just wherever you take the show and you consume the show, we'd love to have you guys leave us a review, preferably positive. If it's negative, let us know. You know, off air, we'll fix it. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson. We're going to go ahead and back on out of here. We will be back next Monday night. Probably talking about how everything has kind of settled in the week since. But you can catch us here, like I said, Monday night around the same time to record. We want to thank you for being listeners. And remember to always leave some of your mana untapped, because you never know when you'll need it. Take care.